When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The Spectral Bites, Clarita Villanueva, and the Unseen Tormentors. The darkness gathers, and with it, the whispers. I'm Raven Vale, and this is Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, we journey to a place where vibrant culture and ancient belief systems often intertwine with modern life. Manila, Philippines. The year is 1953, a city alive with the echoes of colonial history, deep-seated Catholic faith, and the enduring presence of older, animistic traditions that speak of spirits both benevolent and malevolent. It is in this rich, complex tapestry that a terrifying and inexplicable event unfolded within the cold, unforgiving walls of a city jail, leaving behind not just fear, but undeniable physical proof of an unseen, tormenting evil. Our story begins with Clarita Villanueva, a young woman, barely 18 years old. Accounts vary on her exact circumstances, but it's understood she was a recent arrival in Manila, perhaps from a rural province, and found herself in trouble with the law. She was arrested, likely for vagrancy or a minor infraction, and detained in the Manila City Jail. She was an ordinary young woman, unremarkable in every way, until the night of May 11th, 1953. It was then that the mundane reality of her incarceration dissolved into a nightmare of unseen torment. Clarita began to scream, not the screams of a prisoner protesting their confinement, but screams of genuine terror and agony. When jail guards rushed to her cell, they found her thrashing, struggling against an invisible force. She claimed she was being tormented by invisible entities, being pinched and pulled. The hardened guards, accustomed to the desperate theatrics of prisoners, dismissed her claims as an attempt to garner attention or escape. They were skeptical, cynical, and utterly unprepared for what they were about to witness. The next morning, the torment continued. Clarita was found huddled in her cell, weeping, her body covered in fresh, red marks. She insisted she was being bitten. The guards, still disbelieving, examined her. And then, as they watched in stunned disbelief, a series of small, distinct bite marks began to appear on her arms, her legs, her torso. Not old marks, not self-inflicted wounds, but fresh, angry red indentations, some even drawing blood, appearing spontaneously on her skin as they stood there, utterly helpless witnesses to an impossible, invisible assault. This was no longer a matter of a troubled girl seeking attention. The guards were terrified. The phenomenon escalated. Clarita's screams became almost constant, her body racked with pain and contortions. The bite marks would appear, sometimes one by one, sometimes in clusters, sometimes accompanied by scratches, as if an unseen hand was tearing at her. The marks were consistent in shape and size, suggesting a single, distinct, biting entity. Doctors were called in. They examined her, perplexed. They found no medical explanation, no insect bites, no allergic reactions, no evidence of self-mutilation. The marks were undeniably real, yet the source remained utterly invisible. As the news of the possessed girl in jail began to spread, the authorities, desperate to maintain order and find a rational explanation, intensified their observation of Clarita. She was put under constant watch, placed in restraints to prevent alleged self-harm, her every move scrutinized. Yet, even under the most rigorous surveillance, the bites continued to manifest. Hardened police officers, cynical detectives, and even the city's powerful mayor Arsenio Laxon came to witness the phenomenon for themselves. Mayor Laxon, a formidable figure not prone to flights of fancy, sat with Clarita, watching intently. He reportedly witnessed fresh bite marks appear on her arm right before his very eyes, leaving him deeply unsettled. "I felt a cold shiver run down my spine," he was quoted as saying. "It was uncanny. There was nothing there, yet the marks appeared." Clarita, amidst her torment, consistently described her tormentors. She claimed she was being attacked by two spirits, one male, large and old, the other smaller and female. She stated they were demons and that they sought to kill her. She would beg them, plead with them, her voice cracking with fear and exhaustion, to stop the attacks. Her body became a canvas of fresh wounds, a testament to her invisible tormentors. Her physical suffering was immense, her psychological state pushed to the brink. She rarely slept, constantly fighting off the unseen assaults. The case exploded into a full-blown media frenzy. Local newspapers, then international wires, carried the sensational story of the girl bitten by invisible devils. The public was gripped by a mixture of fear, fascination, and fervent debate. Was it true demonic possession? A unique psychological breakdown? A massive hoax? The lack of any logical explanation, combined with the undeniable physical marks witnessed by so many credible individuals, fueled the controversy. Religious intervention soon followed. Catholic priests were brought in to perform blessings and attempts at exorcism. They read prayers, applied holy water, and offered solace. While some claimed brief reprieves from the attacks, the general consensus was that the rituals had little lasting effect. The entities seemed to defy the sacred rites, continuing their relentless torment. The case was unique in that, unlike some other alleged possession cases where the focus was on the internal, spiritual struggle, Clarita Villanueva's case offered constant, tangible, physical evidence visible to all. There were no voices speaking through her, no contortions or levitation, just the horrifying appearance of fresh, brutal bite marks on her skin, inflicted by an unseen force. The authorities, having exhausted all avenues of conventional investigation, eventually transferred Clarita from the general jail population to a solitary cell, then later to a hospital for further observation, where the attacks reportedly lessened in intensity. Her eventual fate is somewhat obscured by the passage of time and the desire for normalcy. Some accounts suggest the attacks eventually subsided after she was released from jail and returned to her province, implying a connection to her confinement or a specific location. Other theories suggest the entities might have eventually left her, or she learned to cope with their presence. The official record, however, simply couldn't provide a rational conclusion. The bite marks were real. The torment was real. The source remained a terrifying enigma. What truly tormented Clarita Villanueva in that Manila jail cell in 1953? Was she a victim of a unique, localized haunting, tormented by spirits tied to the ground of her confinement? Or was she, as her family and many witnesses believed, truly besieged by demonic entities, their malevolence so profound they could physically manifest their attacks on her flesh? The enduring legacy of the Clarita Villanueva case lies in the undeniable, real-time physical evidence witnessed by so many, including skeptical public officials. It pushes the boundaries of what can be dismissed as mere hallucination or fabrication. it leaves us with the terrifying possibility that sometimes the unseen world is not just a whisper in the dark, but a tangible, biting reality, capable of inflicting real pain and leaving lasting, terrifying marks. Until next time, when the whispers grow louder, good night.